It is the 26th Sunday after Pentecost. The Mass texts for today are from the 6th Sunday after the Epiphany. There will be blessing of articles after Mass at the communion rail. We will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 o'clock. Please go to the classroom after Mass today to pick up your dishes and containers from the cabinet. Wednesday, we will continue the talks on the Catholic faith from 6:45 to 7:45 p.m. in the hall. We will be continuing the instructions from the Catechism with Lesson 11 on the Catholic Church. Last Friday was Veterans Day, and we want to make sure everyone remembers to pray for the souls of the faithfully departed who were soldiers. We have Memorial Day for that. And Veterans Day is another occasion to remember those fallen heroes. Remember to have Masses offered for the living and deceased relatives and for friends, and also for your own salvation, your special needs, and in reparation for your sins, to name a few things. Now, to say a little bit more about that, let's repeat the announcements here. The Mass texts today are for the 6th Sunday after the Epiphany, blessing of articles after Mass, benediction of the Blessed Sacrament today at 6. Please pick up your dishes and things in the classroom. The Wednesday night classes resume with Lesson 11. And also, let's do the feasts for this week. I want to make a comment about Masses. Today is the feast of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini. Okay, we'll digress slightly here. Whenever we have the Holy Hour or it's First Friday coming up, often you hear the priest talking about the importance of that and things, and also about the reminder to all of us who have had the enthronement about supposedly our great attachment to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, making it personal in our lives. That's what we're doing. We're bringing God into our homes and making it a little chapel, or as Father Mateo says, a Bethany. And we mention Father Mateo because he is the one who started this devotion of the enthronement, without going through his story. Just want to mention that, fortunately, just recently, we have just reread his books, Jesus King of Love, his most famous, and then one he wrote called Father Mateo Speaks to Priests, which is just a accumulation of sermons and retreats he gave to priests. Now, in reading that, those works, it's a reminder, which we're passing on to you, of the importance of this. How he has expressed it as he conceived the idea of this thing, which seems to have been by divine inspiration and endorsed by several popes, starting with St. Pius X. So it has the stamp of the church on it. To make your lives different. To make the presence of God living in your home. Now, we give that as a preface to this, because every time you have a reminder of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, it's just because you have the enthronement, you just leap towards that. And we have two things, one today, that's why we stop with St. Francis Cabrini. What is the community that she began? We have her, a picture of her in the Sacred Heart Shrine. Maybe it's nice to make a little pilgrimage there today. And of course, something attached to us because she came to Colorado Springs. But what was the community? The missionaries of the Sacred Heart. And if you look at the Mass text for her Mass, her feast day, it is, "Come to me, all you who labor and burden." That is exactly the words of the Sacred Heart. And the prayers, the collect, and the post-communion, telling us, saying that as the saint, St. Paul's words, becoming all things to all men to gain all, but asking that the virtues of the Sacred Heart imbue us with the power that we can give to others. These are the sentiments that should be burning in our hearts on a day like this if we are living the enthronement. And then we have St. Gertrude the Great later this week. She is called the Herald of Divine Love. She predates St. Margaret Mary by centuries. But Father Mateo and others have stressed the fact she is one of those apostles of the Sacred Heart. In the chapel of Paray-le-Monial, which is where the apparitions took place to St. Margaret Mary, there's a great mosaic behind the altar, and they have put in all of these different saints and holy personages who are attached to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And so they have, of course, our Lord there, but then they have St. Margaret Mary, and they have these saints, St. Gertrude, and then they have even Father Mateo depicted. So we mention these two saints because this should be for those who are living the enthronement. You should be responding instantly to this. Tomorrow is the feast of St. Josaphat. We cannot tell. He is a martyr. We cannot tell his story about that he gave his life. He was a bishop, Polish bishop, who gave his life for the reunion of the Eastern Orthodox churches with Rome, and how these schismatics murdered him because of that. But he, the moment when he died, these murderers came to his home and they started yelling at his servants, the people who were taking care of the place. And the bishop came out, the saint came out, and he said to them, "My children," he's addressing these people about to kill him, "My children, you do not have any, do not harm my servants if you have something against me. I am here." And then they proceeded to kill him, mangle his body, throw it aside. And his body is incorrupt and is in St. Peter's in Rome. We also have St. Albert the Great on Tuesday, who is the teacher of St. Thomas Aquinas. Wednesday is St. Gertrude. Thursday is St. Gregory the Wonder Worker. And Friday is the dedication of the basilicas of Saints Peter and Paul. We're skipping over fantastic stories. And just on that St. Peter Basilica, can't say anything about it. But Constantine, as you heard about perhaps last week about the dedication of St. Saviors, he himself was there to dig for the foundation of this basilica. But it was built over the actual tomb of St. Peter, and the 20th century was reserved for the 20th century to have the excavations to discover that tomb and the history of that. Amazing. It's really like a mystery novel to read the story. And then Saturday is the feast of St. Elizabeth of Hungary, widowed at age 20 with three children. And she died at 24. So, unbelievable story. Oh, and yes, here's the thing about the announcement on the Masses. Now, we're here, so we all know the value of the Mass. But, and this is maybe for the people who, maybe because they don't know about saying having Masses offered or whatever, they're not in the habit of doing it, because there are some people that do not practice this devotion of having Masses offered. So we want to encourage those people, everyone, but particularly those people who are not used to doing it. And rather than express it ourselves, we wanted to have you hear some words about this. Not that you are here, so you all know the value of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. But it's good to remember and to see how the saints think about things. Now, this is from St. Thomas, well, he's not a saint, not declared, Thomas a Kempis, on the Imitation, he says, when the priest celebrates the holy sacrifice of the Mass, he honors God, he edifies the church, he helps the living, he obtains rest for the departed, and he makes himself partaker of all good things. Now, that's just our, to set the ground rules there. But these are quotes from the book The Hidden Treasure, which everyone should have read. It's this fantastic little book, and we have it here, so you should get it if you can, by St. Leonard of Port Maurice. These are some of the things he says in there. I believe that it were it not for the Holy Mass, at this moment the world would be in the abyss, unable to bear up under the mighty load of its iniquities. And he tells a story in there about that. The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, viewed according to its intrinsic preciousness and value, the satisfaction may be made completely for committed sin. So what I'm doing here is taking out selections from Hidden Treasure by the saint to give you ideas for things to have Masses offered for. Right now, of course, it should be for the poor souls. And as you mentioned in the past, for yourselves, your relatives, and remember the priests, religious, and nuns, brothers. And how about those individuals who have been instrumental in your own life? Like the priest that baptized you, or the bishop that gave you confirmation, or ordained you, that's not you, me. Living or dead. But here's another one. For sin. He says it, he goes on to explain, I'm not reading that, that of course we have the sacrament of penance that immediately takes away sin. But he says the Mass immediately is the means. We shall be able to satisfy the debt of gratitude which we have contracted with God. Another reason to have Mass is offered in thanksgiving for any favors we've received. And of course, the point here is, what better way for us to do any of our prayers, adoration, thanksgiving, reparation, petition, what better way can we do any of those things than to have our Lord offer our petition himself at the Mass? That's what he's telling us. Another, it is in our power by means of it to pay forth the debt to God, which is to supplicate him and to entreat new graces from him. How can you doubt but that he wishes to give you all the virtues and all the perfections which are required to make you a saint and a great saint in heaven? So have Masses offered to become a saint. What graces, gifts, and virtues the Holy Mass calls down? Repentance for sin, victory over temptation, holy inspirations, which dispositions to shake off tepidity, the grace of final perseverance. Have a Mass offered for the grace of final perseverance, upon which depends our salvation, temporal blessings such as peace, abundance, and health. And then in particular for our, not to neglect that we have, but for the poor souls, he says, the Holy Mass not only shortens their pains, but also extends great immediate relief to those poor souls. The charity you exercise toward the poor souls under purification will all redound to your own good. In having Masses said for your own soul, get celebrated all the Masses possible in your circumstances, not only for the souls departed, but for your own. Do this for two motives. First, to obtain a good and holy death, it being the invariable opinion of theologians that there is no more efficacious means for attaining so holy a purpose. Another motive is that you may yourself issue quickly from purgatory and fly away into eternal glory, there being no means more adapted for obtaining from God a grace so precious as that of going direct to heaven or at least a short detention on the way. Okay. I have masses offered all the time. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Brethren, we give thanks to God always for you all, continually making a remembrance of you in our prayers, being mindful before God and our Father of your work of faith and labor and charity and your enduring hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, brethren, beloved of God, how you were chosen. For our gospel is not delivered to you in word only, but in power also, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much fullness, as indeed you know what manner of men we have been among you for your sakes. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, receiving the word in great tribulation, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became a pattern to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you the word of the Lord has been spread abroad, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has gone forth, so that we need say nothing further. For they themselves report concerning us how we entered among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to await from heaven Jesus, his Son, whom he raised from the dead, who has delivered us from the wrath to come. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. This indeed is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it grows up, it is larger than any herb and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and dwell in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and buried in 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and without parables he did not speak to them, that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We are rapidly approaching the end of the liturgical year. And Holy Mother, the Church is going to great lengths to impress upon us that point, and not to be afraid, to have hope. And so as the season of Pentecost began with hope, and the color green being that reminder for us, now as we come to the end of the liturgical year, it means that much more. This Sunday and the last Sunday are last Sundays we will have green before we begin the new year. And so we take hope. That's what we're trying to appreciate. And Holy Mother of the Church is going to great lengths to make that stand out for us. Keeps repeating this introit. It'll be the introit for next week too. I think thoughts of peace and not of affliction. You will cry to me and I will save you. And all of us and each of us have many reasons to lose hope, to be very sad. We have a lot of things to worry about. But how about those poor unborn babies? They don't have a voice. See, no Mass goes by, I don't think of them. The last gospel is a constant reminder that everyone who comes into the world is called to become sons of God? What about those who are prevented from coming into the world? Now, of course, we lament the murder of the innocent. One of the four crimes that cry out to heaven for vengeance. Vengeance is coming. It may be upon our generation or our children's, but it will be paid. Those lives will be avenged. So the murder of the innocent is a terrible crime, but you know what's worse? What about their eternal welfare? Never given the chance to be baptized. Now, who do you think would be behind some kind of a plot like that? The devil and his minions. Okay. But, so, that's pretty good. It sets us in the tone of what we're all facing, our own death, the end of this year, liturgical year. All of the consequences of sin that we have to deal with every day. That's a big one. But each of our lives, the pain from our everything, go down the list, do the litany, do your own litany of your own pain and the pain of Holy Mother, the Church. And then the Church says, but you must have hope. Because God wants to save us. We're the biggest obstacle to that. And so we have the selection for the epistle. And we have no time to tell you about this in any detail. But these are literally the first words from the pen of St. Paul. This is considered his first epistle. And he wrote it to these Thessalonians, which we cannot give you this detail, except to tell you that he was directly inspired by God to go to these people. And you can read about it in the Acts of the Apostles, how he had a dream, and there was a man in the dream, a young man in the dream, beckoning him to come from Asia to Europe. He was a Macedonian, asking him to come and give us the good news. And Thessalonica is the capital of Macedonia. So that's the background to this. And he says, we came with great power and the Holy Spirit. That's the background. And why is the Holy Mother Church? Because he had to write to these people and say, he didn't get into it in this section, although he's talking about, he's renewing their understanding of the Blessed Trinity. You hear him talking about Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He's talking about their faith, their hope, and their charity. All the powers he left with them through the preaching and the sacraments. But the main purpose of this epistle, which is not explained, is you can't read the whole epistle. He's telling them, I know what you've heard, what I personally have told you about the end of the world. But he said, it is not coming yet. So you have to have hope and live your lives in God's grace. Okay, need me say more for us? Selection for us to have hope. Now, the gospel. Last week, if you remember last week's gospel, it is the weeds and the wheat, and how it was sprinkling, and what happened to all these different seeds that were planted. And we've done it before, but just maybe heard last week, but our Lord describes in the parable, he puts the context for his listeners into, he quarters the group. So he divides it into four quarters, and he tells us what's happening to each quarter. This seed fell here, the birds came and took it. The next quarter, it was planted, grew up, and it died in the third quarter. And then there's the fourth quarter. So only one quarter of this crop even has the seed come to any fruition. And then, I'm looking and dividing this and taking a look at it. And so just a few pews have the crop come up. And about Darnell and all that, the weeds in there. And then he says, But even there, even where the wheat comes up, he says, some of it has 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. In other words, not everyone is taking the full advantage of it, even those who are having the fruit come. That's just the background, because this gospel are the exact words right after that. Because our Lord did not, because I don't know if you realize, that's a sad story. He right away says, 3/4 of the people hearing me, this is in one ear and out the other. And of the quarter that do hear it, the response is going to be a third, a two-thirds, and then a full response. That was disheartening. And so these are the words he said right after that we just heard today. The words of giving, those are the warning words, these are the hopeful words. And he says, even if we take the littlest seed, the mustard seed, and we plant it, it will become a great tree. And so he's saying, I just told you as a warning, but I'm telling you this, that the littlest spark of the faith will grow into a great tree. So we know that the church will, he's telling the apostles, don't be discouraged. Your work will have all these bad things happening, but you're going to plant the faith and it's going to blossom into a great edifice. And then he says, right after that, he says, and also the kingdom of heaven is like a little leaven that you put into the flour, and it permeates all of the flour and makes the bread rise, and we have our food to eat. And he puts these two things together to tell us the smallest thing with divine power is going to save us. And it's going to be, because he said, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. That is the church. And he says, look what's happening. It's going to grow out, and it's going to grow in. It's going to be the leaven in the bread. It's going to convert each soul, and it's going to expand out to gain all souls. Isn't this fantastic? We don't like even saying the word genius of Christ. That's lessening him in a way. He is God. That says it all. But you can see the mind of God, a little glimpse of it. And you know, we need that. Because that power that our Lord's talking about in these parables, that power to grow, is irresistible. It cannot be stopped, like that leaven. Once that leaven is put into the flour, it cannot be stopped. You can't go in and try and grab it and take it out. The mustard seed is going to grow. It will become the great edifice. It's irresistible. That is to give us hope. Because right now, we're on the level of the mustard seed as far as this world goes. 7 billion people, supposedly 1 billion Catholics or more. How many of them have the faith? How many of them have the true sacrifice of the Mass? How many of them are like you? Now, we all know our own failings, but at least in the faith, trying to hold on to the faith, we're like the mustard seed. So God is talking to us and saying, it is irresistible. It's like the days of the catacombs. The church felt like we do. The persecution would get bloody sometimes. That has not happened in this country yet. What about other countries behind the Iron Curtain? But even then, the church was spreading so that at the moment that Constantine made the church come out of the catacombs, I can't remember the statistics, I don't have them in front of me, but you know, the church came out, that mustard seed came out of the catacombs for 300 years and came above ground with hundreds of dioceses already set up. And if you look at this traditional thing, now the traditional movement is not the Catholic Church. It's just the mustard seed trying to hold on. But you look at how it is is spread everywhere. It's international. Even though we're small and everything, there are people just like you, little tiny groups of people all over this country, all over this planet. But it's not just external. That's what these two parables are saying. It's internal. We have to make that leaven change us. We must convert. And reflecting again on the previous parables our Lord said to teach the apostles, and that's what we're just reflecting on here for us, but it's also to help everybody here also. Hopefully, we're saying the words that our Lord once said. Now, I do that. We all know it. But He is there. He's listening, hopefully, to say the right things. That you want to do the same thing. Lord, I'm here. I know you're here. Help me make these things real in my life. Because that's the way I said to end on, even though this is hope. But it's hope that we have to have with that cautionary note. Do not leave today and let the devil pick up whatever happy thought you've received and take it away. Don't walk out and let that thought help you for a while and then let it be smothered by falling right back into the world's paganism by the media or whatever else you're going to be absorbed by today. Do not let it come out and not nourish it with the things you need to keep it going, like prayer, so that you sprout up, that these thoughts help you, but it's and something grows, but then I don't nourish it, I don't water it and everything else, and it fades away. Don't let that happen to you. And by the way, I'm saying it. I'm thinking of it. Only a quarter are going to get past that stage. And of that quarter, only a third are going to put into action, two-thirds better, and so on. But you know what? For each person, this is individual. Don't worry about any of the other things. Just worry about yourself. You be the one that takes it and makes it 100-fold. And you know what? If you do that, if one of you does that, we all benefit. So if one walks away and puts this into action in his life, her life, we all benefit. So in that way, our Lord, hopefully we're saying it to all. The parables are for all. Our Lord goes on after these words in the gospel. The apostles say to him, "Can you explain? What are you saying? You know, and he says, I say the parables for all, but only for the few will they make a change in their lives. I'm asking you as singular, not you all hear it, but you as singular, you be that one who by making this a reality, you becoming what God wants you to be in full capacity, you will raise us all up. That is the great hope. That is a great hope that's going to lead us all at this, as we come to the end of this year, to the gates of heaven. That's our final hope, the hope of getting to heaven. And that one of us here is going to help us get there, raise us all up. May God bless you.